This last week, we had our convocation for the priestly archdiocese that happens a few weeks after Easter every year. It's a gathering of listening to some talks, of prayer together, of recreation, and it's a time to just kind of relax. I know Archbishop, I think he really enjoys being there. He relaxes too, gets to see Archbishop with his favorite downtime clothes and his khakis and his hoodie on, so kind of doing his Bill Belichick impression or something like that, and it's just good to be around each other. But there's substantive talks that are very good as well. We're blessed to have a priest, Father Matthias Thielen from Michigan, the Lansing Diocese, come to speak. And one question that came up early on in the convocation was, where do I need more of God? Where do I need more of God? And giving that as a question to ponder, to ask the Lord. And for myself, I felt like the answer from the Lord was simply, well, right in the center, right in your center. That's where you need more of me. Not on some little peripheral thing or some minor issue, but right in the middle of you. That's where you need more of me. And what he was getting at was that, yeah, there's, I think, a pattern in my life, I dare say maybe in other people's lives as well, where we can kind of turn in on ourselves with kind of a false self-reliance. I kind of call it going up the tower, you know? And in that self-reliance, then it becomes very quickly self-pity. And then that can quench love and extinguish joy. At the end of college, I had a very deep encounter with the Lord, not in some prayer time while I was doing the dishes. And what the Lord told me then, you know, to my amazement, it's a pattern and therefore a reminder that he keeps giving me throughout my life, that so often I can be just closed in upon myself, and at the same time, he wants his love to break in because I have no idea how much he actually loves me. The greatness of divine love is something so important for us to contemplate, to focus on, to receive the good news of that, the calling of that. And I think our readings very beautifully reveal the greatness of divine love. And so I'll just kind of throw out a few different little lines out of our readings that I think help give us just kind of a panorama on what is divine love like. You know, in our second reading, and this is love, that he loved us. What love is first of all about is that God has first loved us. He takes the initiative. His love is there before we ever even have come into existence. We then only respond. We don't create the conditions for him to love us. He loves us first. Another line, so that we might have life through him, through the Son. You know, 1 John, that letter getting at the reality that is through God's love that we receive life. God's love is creative. It's life-giving. It makes things, and it makes things good. And also it says that he sent his Son as expiation for our sins. So this divine love, this love of God for us, very often takes the form of mercy towards us. Because of our lowliness, because of our wretchedness, because of our sin, his love comes to help us because he wants our genuine good, even if maybe sometimes we don't want it or even know what it is. And then Jesus says in the gospel, I have kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love. And so God's love includes that reality of obedience, of giving oneself over to another in a deep way and of not standing in that tower like I can be tempted to, that we can be tempted to, but instead that turn to obedience is part of this divine love. And then Jesus also then saying, I have called you friends, and that also it is not you have chosen me, but I chose you. God's love is personal. It's particular. It's a choice that God makes, and indeed, choice is so important in love. It's not just some kind of fleeting feeling, but it's a deep activation of the will of wanting someone else's good and wanting union with them. And then Jesus saying, no one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. God's love is sacrificial, the pouring out of oneself for another. And that's part of this, this divine love. And then Jesus says, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy might be complete. God's love brings joy, a joy that the world cannot give, a joy that surpasses this world and anything that it can offer. So God's love is joy-producing within us, and he wants us to have indeed complete joy. And then finally, again going back to our second reading from 1 John, God is love. God's love is at the very heart of his being, and therefore it's the very center, the floor, the foundation of all existence itself. The depth of existence is God who is love. And God who is love, as opposed to the foundation of existence of just being, you know, one fluky universe in a multiverse or some kind of nihilistic, lame scientific explanation. We believe in science as a credible tool to understand what has been created, but it doesn't explain the foundation of existence. And so God, who is love, pours out his love upon us, this divine love that is not some superficial, self-serving, fleeting version of love that so often maybe we cling to or the world proposes to us. So I think the readings and what the real nature of love is challenges us to really wonder, is my conception of love big enough? What love, what divine love really is? Because we are called by God to love in this divine way and nothing less. And as we do, it changes us and it saves us. As it says in 1 John, everyone who loves, you know, in this divine way is begotten by God and knows God. How is this love really even possible for us anyway? How can we love this way with a God we can't see, with a neighbor maybe we don't even want to see? You know? How can we love this way? Not from ourselves, not out of our own goodness or capacities, but because we have been given the Holy Spirit. As it says in St. Paul's letter to the Romans, that God's love has been poured into us through the gift of the Holy Spirit. And we see how readily the Lord wants to give that gift to us. In our first reading, while Peter was still speaking these things, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who were listening to the word. And so Peter's talking about, and they had to kind of cut this out because it'd be a really long reading with including everything. But Peter was explaining to this Roman centurion, to these Gentiles, about the mystery of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, what we call the Paschal mystery, of God's great merciful redemption that he wishes to give to us. And God's like, Peter, great, I'm just going to give him the Holy Spirit, you know? And God pours his divine love, the Holy Spirit, upon them, so they can become begotten by God and have this divine life and the divine love that goes with it. The Holy Spirit has been given to us as well, my brothers and sisters. The Holy Spirit has been given to us so we can love with this true divine love. And this love is given to us in the sacraments, like baptism, like confirmation we celebrated today, that configures us to Christ, to be receptacles, to be temples of the Spirit, of this divine love, to be able to move through that love. We're fed by the sacraments, the Eucharist, which gives us more of that divine love and helps intensify that love within us. The sacrament of penance and reconciliation, in which we come back to God's love, given to us now as mercy. We're given the Holy Spirit and the many actual graces that help us day by day, moment by moment, to live not as we used to, but in this new way begotten by God. guided by the Holy Spirit. And then the Holy Spirit as well is given to us in these different things called charisms, which are these special kind of empowerments of love, the way that love can work in our lives in a special divine way. And that's really what our convocation was about. And then the beautiful thing is that the Holy Spirit's love received and as we allow it to work through us, produces genuine joy. There's this celebrated line that I heard, well, in our confirmation mass today, I heard it on our convocation, might as well share it with you as well. Joy is the most infallible sign of the presence of God. Joy is the most infallible sign of the presence of God. And that joy comes from God's love at work within us and through us. So the Holy Spirit has been given to us to be able to love in this divine way that is creative and takes the initiative, that is merciful and desires others good, that includes a loving obedience, that is personal and particular and a real and enduring choice, that is sacrificial and which brings out joy. We've been given the Spirit to live that divine love. And so let us ask for the Holy Spirit's help. Two little prayer actions you could do in whatever the circumstance may be of where maybe I'm being prompted by God, I need to love in a divine way. The first is, and this comes out of these wonderful studies, CCO, Catholic Christian Outreach, our Follow Me groups do these studies, and the second one is called Source, about the Holy Spirit. And there's just a little practice called Choose and Ask. And I've mentioned this before because it's one of my favorite things because it's so practical. And it's simply this, where there is before you the need to choose a Christ-centered life or maybe a Christ-centered choice, a choice to love in a divine way, choose that. But then ask for help at the same time. Ask the Holy Spirit to help. Like, Lord, I know I need to love that neighbor again. Maybe I need to forgive that neighbor. Holy Spirit, please help me. I need to make that phone call and finally start reconciliation with that relative. Oh, Holy Spirit, help me. Choose and ask. How often we just kind of see the choice, feel the obligation, and then, okay, I better do this. Fail, right? Choose and ask. Ask the Holy Spirit to help because He has been poured into our hearts. And then maybe just an even simpler prayer than that, simply come, Holy Spirit. It's just a meditative prayer, a simple prayer, come, Holy Spirit. Maybe you're going to walk into a tough situation or you're walking out of one. Come, Holy Spirit. Saying that a few times, inviting again the Spirit to be with you, to be at work through you, to help you to love in that divine way, the real way that produces joy. So Jesus says again, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. This is my commandment. Love one another in the same way I love you.